Welcome to the Preakness Moments podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Remembering Preakness's past and looking ahead to Saturday, May 21st, when Nyquist goes for the middle jewel at Pimlico Racecourse. Quick note of thanks to our sponsors, the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Delaware Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, Maryland Jockey Club, Fasig Tipton & Company, Virginia Equine Alliance and the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, and the Maryland Horse Industry Board. Thanks to all. Frank Vespi here, and we're joined by Stan Salter, host of Maryland Horse Radio, who is also the on-air analyst for the Maryland Jockey Club, former Gallup boy on the backstretch, worked in the racing office, worn a lot of racing hats. He's a Maryland boy. And Stan, as I understand, your own Preakness memories go all the way back to a horse near and dear to a lot of Marylanders.
Yeah, the last Maryland bred to win the Preakness, Deputer Testimony, that's the earliest Preakness I can remember being here live at Pimlico. I remember kind of getting here later on in the morning, and it taking a while. You know, it never took us, you know, it was the longest trip ever to Pimlico that morning, you know, because we showed up late in the morning and all the traffic and everything, so that was my earliest, memory of being here for Preakness, and of course that was a big day for Maryland. I remember going home and my mom asking, you know, who won the Preakness, and my dad said, "Oh, it was the Boniface horse," and I remember my mom saying, you know, that was a pretty big deal. So looking back on it, you know, that was a big day, for local people back then. And then,
let me jump in for one second. Were people, you know, in the area, were they surprised? Did they expect a big effort from that horse?
Well,
do you recall?
He was, what, 10, 12 to 1 or something? Everybody knew who he was. I think everybody knew who Boniface was. Everybody knew who the horse was. And it was just kind of, I don't think it was too much of a shocker. You know, it was kind of like, they've been going for it. I think they've been swinging for it, you know. They've been trying to win a big race like that, and it's kind of like all the Bonifaces finally won the big
they
one.
They got the one they wanted.
So, and then the next year, I think it was a year after that, Gate Dancer, my dad was friends with Bamberg, and I like Gate Dancer because he wore the earmuffs. So I bet on him. He was like 9-2 or something, I think, in the Preakness that year. So that was my best memories early on for Preakness, and then professionally, I'd have to say probably 2005, the Fleet Alex Preakness. That was my first year on the air for Maryland Horse Radio. And, what a Preakness that was. Him going to his knees at the top of the stretch and still winning. And that was kind of a local story there. His trainer and John, it was Tim Ritchie, which was kind of a local guy. Jeremy Rose was a local jockey. So that was a cool Preakness. And then,
I mean, that was an amazing, we were sort of sitting up this way, and it was an amazing sight to see him, to see Scrappy TV'er out in front of him and Fleet Alex almost. I mean, it's probably the most athletic move almost anyone has seen a horse do, to almost go down, not only win, but draw.
Yeah, I was standing in the winner's circle with a bunch of people. Frank Carulli was right next to me. I think Frank Carulli liked Scrappy T. And turning for home, you know, Scrappy T was, you know, looking like a real customer. And then when he came out and on a Fleet Alex, Frank said something like, "Oh, he's going to win and get taken down," because the Fleet Alex, nobody thought he was going to get back up and win the race. And he gets back up and wins like that. That was, you won't see too many horses fall down still win the Preakness.
That's for sure. Now we just saw Nyquist out on the track gallop a little while ago, and everybody seemed very happy with that. What are you sort of looking forward to come less than a week now, this coming Saturday?
Well, I finally made a few bucks in the Derby. even when I liked Orb, I lost money when Orb won the Derby. I finally, I bet Nyquist to win in place and hit the exacta. So I liked him in the Derby, and I had great respect for the connections, of course. Doug O'Neill, the owner, Redham Racing, the same jockey, Mario Gutierrez, the whole team, Jack Sisterson, Tyler Seren, Johnny Garcia, the groom, the whole crew. I think the only different part of the crew with Nyquist from the I'll Have Another crew when they were here in 2012 is instead of Lava Man for the pony, they have Satire? Or Sapphire?
Yeah, Sapphire.
The pony. He seems pretty cool. But I like how these guys came here 2 days after the Derby to get settled here at the Preakness. It certainly worked with I'll Have Another. That's what everybody used to do back in the old days. The horse is shipping in a couple days before the race, You know, they those horses win sometimes, but I like how the Team O'Neill gets here, you know, right after the Derby. They seem settled. You know, this morning was the best he's looked, I think, since the Derby, with that nice strong gallop out there this morning. So I like Nyquist, and the Clydesdales, they showed up a day early, so you know Preakness is close to the Clydesdales.
And everybody loves the Clydesdales. All right, Stan Salter, thank you so much, and good luck on Preakness Day.
All right, thank you, Frank, good luck.
This has been the Preakness Moments podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. For more Preakness Moments and wall-to-wall Preakness coverage all week long, check us out at www.theracingbiz.com. The Racing Biz is the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Thanks again for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you out at Old Hilltop. We'll be right back.